in the morning
on 710 WOR.
Get going, everyone. Looks like a great Wednesday out there. Sun shining bright. It's going to be in the mid-70s. How's everyone doing this morning? Michael Riddle, all good as you were?
Tired. I stayed up late. I started reading a book on the Civil War because I'm planning a little Civil War tour this summer.
Really?
And it's called A Stillness at Appomattox. And I thought I'll read a few pages. I read 35 pages last night. I couldn't put it down. It's a brilliant, brilliant book. Yeah.
I'll tell you how it turns out.
No, what I've been reading, this wonderful Bruce Caton is the writer, and he wrote a trilogy called The Army of the Potomac, and I read the first two, which are brilliant, and I'm reading this one, which won the Pulitzer Prize in 1953 or 54, and it is riveting.
So when you say you're going to do a Civil War trip, I mean...
we're going to Richmond?
Gettysburg?
Well, we were, but the problem is we were going to do it over the 4th of July weekend, and the Battle of Gettysburg was fought. From July 1st through the 3rd, I think.
So it's tough to get in?
It's all reenactments. It's apparently the traffic is a nightmare. There's no place. So we're not going to do Gettysburg. We're going to do Richmond, where we're going to do the Confederate White House and the Civil War Museum.
Right.
Then we're going to Fredericksburg,
sure,
which I read about last night. Fascinating battle. And then we're going to go to Petersburg, where they had the Siege of Petersburg.
Wow.
Hey, if any listener out there has any Civil War reading recommendations for me, let me know. 1-800-321-0710, because I'm going to plunge into all these Civil War books.
I'm impressed. You know, my typical vacation is find me the nearest beach. And yours is, you know, the Confederate White House would be very interesting.
Yeah, Jefferson Davis.
Yeah.
It's fun to travel to a place and then you learn something new, because I must confess... True. Even though I was a history major, the Civil War was a period that, other than the fact I know the dates and that the North won.
And who won, right?
I know very little bit about it. Yeah. But you can get involved in these battles. They're really fascinating. The tactics and the strategy.
The president said the North lost, didn't he? Lincoln lost
the war? He said Lincoln lost the war.
Why do you bring that up, Joe?
Yeah, but also, you're right, Joe, but how come that got no traction? I thought that was just unbelievable. He told one of the owners of the Red Sox, as he showed him the Lincoln bedroom, that Lincoln lost the war. You guys lose a few games, but Lincoln lost the war. And I don't know what war he was talking about.
I think it's kind of not in full context, so it's kind of hard to know what he means.
Well, he probably meant that the failure was that Lincoln shouldn't have gone to war in the first place.
Right, yes, exactly.
Should have been able to have an accommodation, peace. And
big spin. Natalie says, move on.
Yeah,
our big
care.
Three, the impeachment issue continues to roil Democrats as more subpoenas are ignored by the Trump administration. What else is new? Also in the big three, who do you think is competing for the least liked Democratic candidate out of all 23 of them?
De Blasio.
Survey says, you got it, Bill de Blasio. And rounding out the big three, the Jeopardy guy did it again.
He did.
Unbelievable. It's now 24 straight. He continues to set records.
Oh, I hope there's a Civil War question.
Well, we'll play Jeopardy.
See if I'm any good.
What is Petersburg? See, I wasn't aware of Petersburg.
Famous Siege of Petersburg lasted 257 days.
You're kidding.
Oh, it's awful.
That's
when you read these battles, though, I mean, the carnage.
It's almost a year, that siege.
I know.
Wow. Yeah, the carnage had to be unbelievable. On a bright note, coming up at 8:30, we're going to dish out some tickets to Cirque du Soleil. We have a 4-pack of tickets. They're set up near Citi Field, and be a good show, and you have a chance to win those tickets. You know, before the break, just before we get to the impeachment stuff, which I know you can't wait to talk about because you think that's going to lead to the second Civil War. But so I was talking about the story down in Coney Island, which really boils my blood. I don't know how you guys feel, but this graft stuff, and you wonder, is everybody cheating in the city? Is everybody getting? Is that why our taxes suck? Because everyone's just stealing. Well, these three clowns, and that all, you know, it's alleged, a 78-count indictment against Anna Trebitch. Well, if this is true, she is a Trebitch. Arena Zeltzer and Karina Andrian, and they took almost $1 million so that rich people could get into the Mitchell Lama housing apartments in Coney Island, and therefore stiffing people who, you know, working-class families who wanted affordable housing. Well, they got screwed because the rich people got these. And they look beautiful from the picture. The apartments from the outside, the building looks very nice. And they took this $1 million, and they bought pricey Florida real estate, fur coats, designer handbags, and jewelry. 78-count indictment. Here is the Brooklyn DA, Eric Gonzalez.
By paying bribes ranging between anywhere between $10,000 and $120,000, this conspiracy allowed at least 18 prospective tenants to bypass the lawful application process, jumping over those on waiting lists and purchasing apartments.
This doesn't seem to make you guys angry. I guess maybe you just think it's business as usual, right? That's the way business is done in the city?
I think so. I mean, look at how some people are getting into college. You pay somebody some money to get in. If you have a business to run and you need something done in the city, you make a campaign contribution, it gets done.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it's not right
No, it's not right, but I mean, I can't get exercised about it. Everything's corrupt.
It's just,
everything is corrupt.
In this city world. And in this state.
They said over in New Jersey, nothing ever gets done unless somebody's getting a payoff.
God.
Oh, boy. Hey, you asked for callers about your Civil War trip?
Yeah.
Well, here you go. Let's start with Jimmy in Lindenhurst. What's up, Jimmy?
Good morning, Jimmy.
Good morning. My wife and I took a 30-day Civil War tour by car, just traveled around the country back in the late 80s, and we've been Civil War buffs. We've been to almost 90 battlefields.
Wow.
And
90?
I got a couple of recommendations for you.
Give us one, because we're tight on time.
What's your number one
recommendation?
But get the U.S. Army Staff College guide to the Battle of Antietam or Fredericksburg. You can look on Amazon, you'll find them. And it will let you hop in your car and take a tour around the entire battlefield explaining what happened everywhere.
It's
a great series of books. And
U.S. Army Field Guide?
War College Guide. You can find it on Amazon.
Great.
To Antietam or to Fredericksburg.
All right.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Hey, Eddie, if you could make it quick, because we don't want to... Rita would like to do the whole show on the Civil War because you're helping his vacation.
I'm telling you, you have no idea the number of Civil War buffs out there. Every time a Civil War book is released, it goes to the number one New York Times.
I've been feeling a lot of people are driving down the Van Wyck saying, what the hell are you guys talking
people
about?
People are fascinated by the Civil
All
War.
All right, Eddie, make it quick if you
Mike,
could.
Gettysburg was fought on the 4th on the 4th of July.
Right.
Also, you have to go to Lexington, VMI University. They have a museum in there that have Stonewall Jackson's jacket when he was shot in the arm. And they also have his horse stuffed. Sorrel is stuffed there.
Let's go look at the stuffed horse.
In Lexington. All right.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Eddie.
Thanks, Eddie.
Let's go to Lexington, Virginia. Look at a stuffed horse.
It's Stonewall Jackson's horse. He was one of the great generals.
Gee, can I come along on this trip? This just sounds unbelievable.
Oh, here we are. If it doesn't have to do with sports, Len knows nothing about it.
I didn't say it had to be sports. Is there a beach somewhere? You're going to the middle of the summer.
No, there was no beach near Fredericksburg, all right?
They should put one there. Then it would make it a much more attractive tourist attraction.
Yeah, that's right. Gettysburg Surf and Turf Club.
All right, so you think there's going to be Civil War. Don't you want to hear what... Well, here's AOC. I think she knows the most about this stuff.
Right now, what we need to do is at least be on that track and at least be in the process of impeachment.
You have to be on that track. Mm. Now, you make it sound like there's this growing insurgency.
There is. Nancy Pelosi's having an emergency meeting this morning, Len, with these people. So that would indicate that there's some emergency going on there.
That's a big mistake. If they do that, there has to be a smoking gun. I'm sorry. To me, it's if they go to the Supreme Court with his taxes and the Supreme Court rules or refuses to hear it and it goes back to the appeals court and he still refuses to give the taxes even after the courts do it, then you can say, okay, you have an impeachable, obstruction. Here's some impeachable offense. But up until this point, and by the way, he's going nuts. He must have tweeted 20 times this morning. The hoax, the this, the that, the Democrats, they want a do-over, on and on and on and on.
I don't know why you let it get to you. I mean, every morning you come in, you say, I can't believe what he's tweeting. He's tweeting up a storm. It's driving me crazy. Ah, he really gets under your skin.
No, I'm going to listen to Mayor Pete. He says, I just ignore him.
No, but you don't ignore him.
Well, because what? He's the president. Don't you have something better to do, Mr. President, than tweet 20 or 30 times?
It's effective. That's how he communicates. It's working for him.
Effective.
He got elected, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm.
And he may get elected again, which I will grant
you. Because you Democrats are going to impeach
you him. But I will tell you that my prediction holds that he's not going to win the popular vote. He'll win the unpopular vote. But not
you know what? That doesn't make a bit of difference.
Yeah, but when you say that there's
going to... You've got to win the Electoral College.
But you say it's a coup d'etat, there's going to be a civil war, but you're just engaging in hyperbole.
I believe if he is reelected, I think a lot of kids, lefty kids who believe in socialism, will take to the streets. They did in the 60s. Why wouldn't they do it now?
About Gerald Nadler, the presidential attorney McGahn didn't show up. He's going to be held in contempt of Congress.
We will hold this president accountable one way or the other.
What does one way or the other mean? It's like saying all options are on the table, which always tells me no options are on the table when they say that.
I don't know.
Anyway, this has been a fun discussion. Have a great Civil War trip.
Thank you very much. Come back and tell
us all about it.
I will.
Coming up, Howard Stern dishes on Donald Trump. I think it's a very interesting theory on Howard's part. That's coming up next. Plus, another chance to win $1,000 is coming your way at 8:05 right here on 710 WOR.
Well, here's kind of a gross thing coming out of Australia, Len.
Yeah.
Actually, we should see check in with our resident millennial, Anthony, to see if he knows anything about this and if he's ever done it. So there's this thing that they do in Australia.
Yeah.
It's called shooey.
Shooey.
Right? And Post Malone, now he's a rock star who was performing in Australia, and he did it the other night at his concert. So what? This is how you do it. So people throw their sneakers up on the stage at him, and then he takes beer, and he pours the beer into the worn sneakers and drinks the beer from the sneaker. Now, this is something that is an Australian tradition, and apparently a lot of young kids are consuming their beer that way. You pour the alcohol into your shoe or someone else's shoe, and then you chug it. The beer cascades down your shirt. And then someone else wears the wet beer-soaked shoe for a night. Now, does this sound like something you do at parties, Anthony? Big old no from Anthony?
Nothing.
Nothing? Never. And Natalie, you've ever tried it?
No. She never tried it.
Have you ever done a shoeie?
No.
With your girlfriends? Like a,
why would
have
I
you ever put a Cosmopolitan into your shoeie?
No.
I can see the girls.
That is the grossest thing I've ever seen.
I can see the girls from Sex and the City doing it with those fancy Louboutin shoes.
Let's try it.
Pour a little champagne. Put your shoe back on, Michael.
I got my shoe off. I got some water.
Oh, what are you doing? You're pouring the water in your shoe? What are you, crazy?
All right, and now let's see.
You wear the
shoe. Oh, don't.
Don't you dare. You're going to drink that?
Did you just put water in your shoe? What are you, nuts?
He is nuts.
But don't smell your shoe either. That is even more disgusting.
That's the worst thing I ever heard of. And then someone wears the worn sneaker.
Yeah, then you wear that worn shoe.
That had the beer in it or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I cannot unsee Michael sniffing his shoe now.
I wasn't sniffing. Yes, I was putting water in it.
Why would you pour water in your shoe?
Because I try new things, Len.
Did you drink from it?
It makes him a better person.
That's right. It's called a shoey.
To quote your parents, well, if your friend jumped off the Empire State Building.
You know what I'm going to do? I have a very nice pair of Cole Haan loafers.
I'm
going to pour some
beer.
No, rosé. At lunch, I'm going to pour my rosé into my Cole Haan loafers and drink out of that way.
Go for it.
Anyway, this is the new trend. It's called the shoey, and I'm on top of it.
I pass. That and the fishing boat. I passed on. And the Civil War tour. So you're right. You do try new things, and I don't.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. That's why my wife and I go to the same restaurant
every night.
Hey, Howard Stern was on with Colbert. Obviously, he's pushing his new book. Had some interesting things to say. Conversation obviously turned to Donald Trump.
Sure.
And Howard said he felt that Trump was one of the top five guests for his show of all time because basically he would say whatever popped into his head.
Right.
And that's a good guest, including the time he talked about Ivanka and said, quote, the most attractive woman he ever met. His own daughter.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. That's right.
So,
that was a little creepy.
Now, Stern admits that Stern himself was a Hillary supporter.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that became a problem during the campaign. He said that Trump would call him regularly during the campaign just to, quote, touch base and to seek Stern's endorsement.
Mm-hmm.
But Stern wouldn't give him his endorsement because he was a big supporter of Hillary Clinton.
Right.
So he claims that Donald asked him to come to the Republican convention and speak on his behalf.
Hmm.
And he turned it down.
Really?
He said it was very nice, but I just can't do this. But so then Stern has this theory. Let Stern explain. This was Howard Stern last night with Colbert.
I firmly believed that Donald did not want to run for president. I don't think it was serious. I don't think he wanted to be the president. I knew him. He had a great life at Mar-a-Lago. He was running around town. He played golf. He had a good time.
So why did he do it? Well, here's the theory.
Why did he do it?
He's on The Apprentice. The ratings were going down. And NBC was balking at giving him a raise. So what did he say? I'll run for president. I'll get a lot of press. And I really believe that Donald, this was a gimmick to get NBC to raise up his salary and to keep The Apprentice on.
Well,
and I would bet the farm on that.
That's not a terrible theory.
No, that's not original to him. A number of people have proffered this theory.
Really? And the proposition is, or the supposition is, he just wanted to get better ratings, so he would be better known, get better ratings for The Apprentice.
Yeah. Or he would, then he was thinking about launching his own TV channel, all those things. It was going to be a tactical business decision.
So based on what you know of Trump and his proclivity for public relations and hype, this theory does make some sense.
Yeah, it probably does. And he got elected, and he's doing a bang-up job. 0% unemployment. Full unemployment economy.
Yeah, that's great.
Full unemployment economy.
So why? Well the Quinnipiac poll says despite that, he has high unpopularity. Now, why? It's all about personality.
I
got to
say about these polls, and I know whenever a poll shows him in a bad position, you get excited about it. But, you know, most people, I think, they lie to pollsters. That's why the pollsters did not pick up that Trump was surging in those battleground states, because I think a lot of people are just embarrassed to admit to pollsters that they like Trump, but they vote for him. He won, clearly.
Now, I'm just looking at his latest tweets here because Drudge came out with a story this morning that only a mile or a mile and a half of the wall has been built. But he goes on and says the tremendous amount of renovation is going on and they're fixing the walls in bad condition. So he's answering Drudge here. So on we go. He says the much of the wall being built at the southern border is a complete demolition and rebuilding of old and worthless barriers.
Well, there you are.
So there you have it.
He explained it to you.
Well, he wanted to get better ratings for The Apprentice, and now he's tweeting like crazy. So there you go.
His you tweeting just drives you crazy. It's hilarious.
Go do your job.
He is doing his job, for God's sake.
Fine.
All right, let's get the news at 7:30 from Joe Bartlett. Good morning, Joe.
By the way, it takes about 30 seconds to do that tweet. It's not like it's distracting him.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's been tweeting now for an hour or so.
Isn't it amazing how it gets under Len's skin? He cannot accept the fact that the President of the United States is on Twitter. He just can't.
And I think Trump does it just to aggravate people like Len.
You think he does?
He's doing an effective job.
He certainly is.
He's doing a great job.
He certainly is.
NYPD officer says he didn't really think that Eric Garner was unconscious. He thought Garner was playing possum when he took him down. This is Officer Justin D'Amico, the partner of Officer Daniel Pantaleo. He was on the stand at Pantaleo's departmental trial yesterday. BBA President Pat Lynch defending the testimony.
At times, folks who don't want to be rest, when they stop resisting, sometimes they go limp or stay stiff.
D'Amico also admitted exaggerating the number of cigarettes that Garner had on him. That led to the confrontation, of course. A Newark police officer has been indicted, charged in connection with the shooting death of a driver who was fleeing a traffic stop. This happened back in January. The officer, Giovanni Crespo, struck 46-year-old Gregory Griffin in the head with a shot after he left that stop. Another suspect was injured. Crespo claims one of the suspects pointed a gun at him. Prosecutors would not comment on that. Growing pressure on House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to move forward with impeachment proceedings. Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez among those now saying, you got to move forward with it.
Right now, what we need to do is at least be on that track and at least be in the process of impeachment.
House Democrats on the track and in the process, Joe. There you go.
She's very emphatic about what she says.
She is.
House Democrats meet this morning to talk about the investigation into the president. And then, coincidentally, the House and Senate leadership will go to the White House to talk to the president about infrastructure.
Well, that's going
to
work out well.
Exactly. He's going to be in a good mood. A gang member who testified at the trial of five men accused in the stabbing death of a Bronx teenager says he now fears for his life. Kevin Alvarez pleaded guilty and flipped on his co-defendants. He's now worried that the gang will seek revenge. Testified that five men killed Junior Guzman Feliz outside a bodega in a case of mistaken identity. Our news today is brought to you by Gary Goldberg Financial Services. Schedule a free consultation by visiting ggfs.com. Finally here, a bizarre story out of the Hudson Valley. A couple has been given the legal right to reproduce their son's sperm.
Ew.
Yeah, well, this is a 21-year-old West Point cadet, Peter Zhu, who died in February in a skiing accident. His parents say it was his dream to have children. So when he was in a coma, they had his sperm frozen.
Ew. It's weird.
Without him knowing.
Right. Well, he was in a coma. Yeah,
but I'm driving home the point that they harvested his sperm without his knowledge.
Well, a Westchester Supreme Court justice has given the parents permission to create a grandchild for themselves using his sperm.
Ooh, really? This is creepy.
I don't know about this.
Who's the woman?
No, there's none.
Well, they're going to have to get a donor. Yeah, they're going to need an egg. Yeah. Despite getting the legal okay, experts say medical professionals may be reluctant to move forward with this one. But the other thing that was pointed out by the court, that there really is no law that regulates this sort of activity so that they have no legal means to stop it.
It just doesn't feel right. It doesn't seem to pass the smell test.
Why do you say that? I mean, if they're going to take care of the kid.
Well, but he's in a coma, so how do you get the...
He's in a coma, and it's like a vanity project for the grandparent. I don't know. What are they doing? Doesn't sit well with me. But, okay.
Creeping me out.
Court says it's okay.
Creeping me out on that one. All right, hey, congratulations to our friend, former New York Governor David Patterson. He got engaged on Monday. He's going to join us when we get back. Oh. And big question for him. Last time he was on, he said he thought de Blasio had a good chance of winning the Democratic primary.
The big question is he going to give you tips on how to get engaged?
We're not going there.
We are not going there.
No.
The mic is open.
It's all going to be what he thinks about de Blasio.
I get to ask questions.
Plus, you want to win $1,000, your next chance is coming up at 8:05 on 710 WOR.
At 7:40 in the a.m., we hope to be joined shortly by former Governor David Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
We want to congratulate him on his engagement this week. Also, he's the one guy of anyone who thought de Blasio has a chance.
Well, we'll see if he's reevaluated his position in light of these polls.
Well, this new Quinnipiac poll has him, his disfavorable rating is at 45%.
And Bernie's is 48%.
48, but still, it's almost the worst.
Right.
And the name recognition is very low. That's also a problem.
I think that Bernie's unpopularity, I was thinking about this the other day. We always talk to ABC News political analyst Steve Roberts
yes.
on Monday.
Yes.
And Steve had said the other week that Bernie Sanders was a nasty man. He sort of walked it back a little bit. On Monday. But I think the animosity towards Bernie stems from the fact that people who were ardent Hillary Clinton supporters have never forgiven Bernie for not really embracing her or endorsing her after she beat him in the Democratic primary.
You know, but to defend Bernie and the Bernie people, they feel that the deck was stacked. By the DNC. And
That loathsome Betty Wasserman Schultz. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, loathsome human being.
Well, they stacked the deck for Hillary.
She put the finger on the scales for Hillary, no question about it. And don't forget, because the Clintons played dirty, that there were those calls to remind people that Bernie was Jewish, those calls down the South. Oh, yeah. They had calls to people in the South.
Oh, I don't like
just,
that.
Just, you know, telling him that, that remember, he's Jewish, you know.
Yeah, he's from Brooklyn. He's from Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah, that's right. Talks like a Jewish New Yorker.
Boy.
So
I can see that. But I just think de Blasio has like a zero chance. And when these polls come out and he continues to say, well, you know, you got to start somewhere and you can only go up and he's been in 10 races and he's won them all.
Well, he may not even qualify to be on stage in the first debate because he doesn't have the fundraising. And he doesn't have the showing in the polls. So that's an issue for him.
Yeah.
Gillibrand, she may not cut the first debate. She may not make it.
Well, she can't make it.
No, she can't make it.
And I wonder who else will not. I mean, there's a lot of people. I mean, there's some people.
You know, you don't hear about anymore is Cory Booker.
Not much.
You don't hear anything about him anymore.
I guess there was a town hall last night on CNN with Beto, but I didn't see anything.
Oh, Beto is faded. What did Trump call him? The fading star? He's fading star.
Yes.
Because Beto's empty. He's just like, you know, an RFK lookalike.
Right. They said he was dropping like a rock.
Dropping like a rock. That's what he is fated to do, to drop like a rock, old Beto. So,
by the way, we're trying to connect with David Patterson.
Yeah, if you're listening, Governor,
hey, Gov,
give us a call. 1-800-321-0710.
Remember you told Natalie you were coming on at 7:40? Hello.
Yeah, that's right. Hello.
Well, you know, we just got engaged. Maybe he's having a little morning delight before he goes off to work.
Well, he's blowing us off for his wife. New or his girlfriend,
so to speak. Yeah, it seems that way.
No Gov.
Well, here's the thing that. So if you were with us earlier, Michael was regaling us with stories about how he is going to take a Civil War battlefield vacation.
I am,
which just sounds fabulous.
Listen, there.
No,
are...
I'm. You know, sounds interesting. Well, see, I'd say mildly interesting. I wouldn't say fabulous for me.
I am really getting into it. I'm totally riveted by these Bruce Caton books. They're excellent. Stillness at Appomattox. Very poetic title. We are going to Appomattox, by the way.
Oh, you are? Yeah.
Although I found out that the original courthouse is no longer standing. It's a replica.
Okay.
But we're going to the Battle of Fredericksburg, which was a very bad battle for the Union
you
soldiers.
You said the one, which is the one, you said Petersburg went over 200 days?
The Siege of Petersburg.
Wow.
Yeah, as they were trying to get to Richmond. So, but you know, you asked me how many people were killed in the Civil War.
Yeah, I wouldn't know off the top of my head.
So this is interesting. Apparently, in all the wars America has fought, over 1.2 million Americans have lost their lives.
Okay, so all the wars put together.
All the wars put together.
1.2 million.
Civil War alone, 620,000 men.
Well, that's because they didn't have to travel too far to get to a war. I mean, they were right here on our land.
Yeah, but you know, it's
600,000, of course, with the population there was a lot smaller.
Yeah, but you know how there was probably very few families in America at the time that were not affected by someone being killed in the Civil War.
It's just unbelievable.
And I was reading some of the accounts of the battle. The thing that really chills your blood is that at night, the survivors of the battle, they could hear the cries of agony of the wounded who were left on the field to die.
I know. What kind of medical facilities could handle that kind
Not a lot back then.
They didn't have triage.
Yeah, it was terrible.
No, but you told me, and I find this interesting, that you would like to go travel the battlefields of Europe for World War One. Now, why would you pick World War One over World War Two?
Well, I study World War Two in college, and I know a bit about World War Two, and I've done Normandy, which I highly recommend to all.
Oh,
Americans.
I would too.
It's so
And I've done
a lot of the concentration camps. I just don't know that much about World War One. So, as I say, I mean, I'm not a guy to go traveling to sit on a beach because I get bored. I like to go to a place.
Are you taking a shot at me?
That I no.
I like to. No, I do my little sightseeing and then find the pool.
Your sightseeing, yeah.
You do a little sightseeing. You see the church. You take a picture.
And then you go.
And you go to the pool.
No, I like to go to a place I don't know anything about, and then I read like three or four books about it, and then I steep myself
in
its
egghead.
History.
No, you're an egghead.
But it means more to you. I mean, if you have read, if you're going to a battlefield and you've read about the battle, when you're standing there. And you know something about it. You're not just saying, oh, then this happened here, that happened there. Oh, look at that tree over there. You know exactly where things happen.
Look at that tree over there.
You would be like that. Let's go to the battlefield, Len. Okay, 10 minutes. You'd go with a guide. He'd say, oh, there was where Pickett's charge was over here. Oh, yeah, that's where it was. Great.
No, listen,
where's the bar?
We took a guide for several hours through Pompeii.
Well, Pompeii's fascinating.
That was fascinating.
Yes, absolutely. I did that too.
So why? It's not like I'm a total moron. You know,
not
airhead.
A total moron.
No, but I just. What did you drop your mic again? This guy's unbelievable.
I dropped my bat. I'm playing with a bat.
Oh, you're playing with. I thought you dropped your mic.
No, I dropped my
why
bat.
Why are you playing with a baseball bat? There's something weird about
I'm
you.
I'm learning about sports through you.
What have you learned so far?
Three strikes, you're out. That's pretty good, I think.
But so I would fess up right now. I don't know a whole lot about World War One either. I mean, you're talking about 100 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I know, but it was a catastrophe for the world.
Yeah.
Don't you have any curiosity?
Well, how were they smart enough to name it World War One? Did they know there was going to be a World War Two? That's a joke.
Right. Okay. Well, those are things.
It was called the Great. It was called the Great War.
It was called the Great War.
Yeah.
Whose assassination precipitated the Great War?
Oh, Ferdinand.
Really? I don't know. The Archduke.
Yeah. Right.
Of.
Wasn't his name Ferdinand?
Yes, it was.
Oh, the Archduke of Serbia. I don't know. Slovenia. Or
well, it was around that area, yes. You know, I've seen his coach at a museum.
His coach?
Yeah, the coach that he was in
Bill,
when he
Bill
was shot.
Bill Parcells? Vince Lombardi?
No. Well,
who was his coach?
The coach he was riding in when he got killed.
Oh.
It's in the museum.
All right. So listen, if we track down David Patterson,
he'll call
we
us
promise
back.
We'll put him on. Natalie is shaking her head. But hey, it happens. It's radio, and maybe he was busy. Maybe you got a better call, better people, better offer. Hey, coming back, tonight's live TV shows. You know, there's going to be two old sitcoms.
I know, and I love
them
both.
They're going to redo two old episodes live. And another night, we have another music winner. Mm. So, and she's pretty good, by the way. Mm-hmm. And if you want a chance to win $1,000, that's coming your way at 8:05.
Hey, I want to tell you about iHeartRadio. It now makes it even easier to listen to all your favorite podcasts. There's no need for another app. All the biggest names in podcasting can be found in the iHeartRadio app. There are literally thousands of them, including Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the Morning, and all of them are available for free. Now, your favorite radio app can be your favorite podcast app. Download or open the free iHeartRadio app and tap the podcast tab, and then you're going to start exploring.
At 7:40 in the a.m., we hope to be joined shortly by former Governor David Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
We want to congratulate him on his engagement this week. Also, he's the one guy of anyone who thought de Blasio has a chance.
Well, we'll see if he's reevaluated his position in light of these polls.
Well, this new Quinnipiac poll has him, his disfavorable rating is at 45%.
And Bernie's is 48%.
48, but still, it's almost the worst.
Right.
And the name recognition is very low. That's also a problem.
I think that Bernie's unpopularity, I was thinking about this the other day. We always talk to ABC News political analyst Steve Roberts
yes.
on Monday.
Yes.
And Steve had said the other week that Bernie Sanders was a nasty man. He sort of walked it back a little bit.
Little, yeah.
On Monday. But I think the animosity towards Bernie stems from the fact that people who were ardent Hillary Clinton supporters have never forgiven Bernie for not really embracing her or endorsing her after she beat him in the Democratic primary.
Well, you know, but to defend Bernie and the Bernie people, they feel that the deck was stacked. By the DNC. And
that that loathsome Betty Wasserman Schultz. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, loathsome human being.
Well, they stacked the deck for Hillary.
She put the finger on the scales for Hillary, no question about it. And don't forget, because the Clintons played dirty, that there were those calls to remind people that Bernie was Jewish, those calls down the South. Oh, yeah. They had calls to people in the South.
Oh, I don't like
just,
that.
You know, telling him that, that remember, he's Jewish, you know.
Yeah, he's from Brooklyn. Card, yeah, he's from Brooklyn, New York.
That's right. Talks like a Jewish New Yorker.
Boy.
So
I can see that. But I think it's I just think de Blasio has like a zero chance. And and when these polls come out and he continues to say, well, you know, you got to start somewhere and you can only go up. And he's been in 10 races and he's won them all.
Well, he may not even qualify to be on stage in the first debate because he doesn't have the fundraising. And he doesn't have the showing in the polls. So that's an issue for him.
Yeah.
Gillibrand, she may not cut the first debate. She may not make it.
Well, she can't make it.
No, she can't make it.
And I wonder who else will not. I mean, there's a lot of people. I mean, there's some people.
You know, you don't hear about anymore is Cory Booker.
Not much.
You don't hear anything about him anymore.
I guess there was a town hall last night on CNN with Beto, but I didn't see any.
Oh, Beto is faded. What did Trump call him? The fading star? He's fading star.
Yes.
Because Beto's empty. He's just like, you know, an RFK lookalike.
Right. They said he was dropping like a rock.
Dropping like a rock. That's what he is fated to do, to drop like a rock, old Beto. So,
by the way, we're trying to connect with David Patterson.
Yeah, if you're listening, Governor,
hey, Gov,
give us a call, 1-800-321-0710.
Remember you told Natalie you were coming on at 740? Hello.
Yeah, that's right. Hello.
Well, you know, we just got engaged. Maybe he's having a little morning delight before he goes off to work.
Well, he's blowing us off for his wife. New or his girlfriend,
so to speak. Yeah, it seems that way.
No Gov.
Well, here's the thing that. So if you were with us earlier, Michael was regaling us with stories about how he is going to take a Civil War battlefield vacation.
I am,
which just sounds fabulous.
Listen, there.
No, I'm. You know, sounds interesting. Well, I'd say mildly interesting. I wouldn't say fabulous for me.
I am really getting into it. I'm totally riveted by these Bruce Caton books. They're excellent. Stillness at Appomattox, very poetic title. We are going to Appomattox, by the way.
Oh, you are. Yeah.
Although I found out that the original courthouse is no longer standing; it's a replica.
Okay.
But we're going to the Battle of Fredericksburg, which was a very bad battle for the Union.
You
soldiers.
Said the one. Which is the one you said? Petersburg went over 200 days.
The siege of Petersburg.
Wow.
Yeah, as they were trying to get to Richmond. So, but you know, you asked me how many people were killed in the Civil War.
Yeah, I wouldn't know off the top of my head.
So this is interesting. Apparently, in all the wars America has fought, over 1.2 million Americans have lost their lives.
Okay, so all the wars put together.
All the wars put together.
1.2 million.
Civil War alone, 620,000 men.
Well, that's because they didn't have to travel too far to get to a war. I mean, they were right here on our land.
Yeah, but you know, it's
600,000. Of course, with the population there was a lot smaller.
Yeah, but you know how there was probably very few families in America at the time that were not affected by someone being killed in the Civil War.
It's just unbelievable.
And I was reading some of the accounts of the battle. The thing that really chills your blood is that at night, the survivors of the battle, they could hear the cries of agony of the wounded who were left on the field to die.
I know. What kind of medical facilities could handle that kind
Not a lot back then.
They didn't have triage.
Yeah, it was terrible.
No, but you told me, and I find this interesting, that you would like to go travel the battlefields of Europe for World War One. Now, why would you pick World War One over World War Two?
Well, I study World War Two in college, and I know a bit about World War Two, and I've done Normandy, which I highly recommend to all.
Oh,
Americans.
I would too.
It's so
Normandy.
Oh, and I've done a lot of the concentration camps. I just don't know that. I don't know that much about World War One. So, as I say, I mean, I'm not a guy to go traveling to sit on a beach because I get bored. I like to go to a place.
Are you taking a shot at me?
No,
I do my little sightseeing and then find the pool.
Your sightseeing, yeah.
You do a little sightseeing, you see the church, you take a picture.
Then you go.
And you go to the pool.
No, I like to go to a place I don't know anything about, and then I read like three or four books about it, and then I steep myself
in
its history.
You know, you're an egghead.
But it means more to you. I mean, if you're going to a battlefield and you've read about the battle, when you're standing there, and you know something about it. You're not just saying, oh, then this happened here, that happened there. Oh, look at that tree over there. You know exactly where things happened.
Look at that tree over there.
You would be like that. Let's go to the battlefield, Len. Okay, 10 minutes. You'd go with a guide. He'd say, oh, there was where Pickett's charge was over here. Oh, yeah, that's where it was. Great. Where's the bar?
We took a guide for several hours through Pompeii.
Well, Pompeii's fascinating.
That was fascinating.
Yes, absolutely. I did that too.
So why? It's not like I'm a total moron. You know, a total
not
airhead.
A total moron.
No, but I just. What'd you drop your mic again? This guy's unbelievable.
I dropped my bat. I'm playing with a bat.
Oh, you're playing with... I thought you dropped your mic.
No, I dropped my
Why
bat.
Why are you playing with a baseball bat? There's something weird about
I'm
you.
I'm learning about sports through you.
What have you learned so far?
Three strikes, you're out. That's pretty good, I think.
But so I would fess up right now. I don't know a whole lot about World War One either. I mean, you're talking about 100 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I know, but it was a catastrophe for the world.
Yeah.
Don't you have any curiosity?
Well, how are they smart enough to name it World War One? Did they know there was going to be a World War Two? That's a joke.
All right. Okay. Well, those are things.
It was called the Great War.
It was called the Great War.
Yeah.
Whose assassination precipitated the Great War?
Oh, Ferdinand.
Really? I don't know, the Archduke.
Yeah. Right.
Of.
Wasn't his name Ferdinand?
Yes, it was.
Oh, the Archduke of Serbia. I don't know. Slovenia or.
Well, it was around that area. Yes. You know, I've seen his coach in a museum.
His coach?
Yeah, the coach that he was in when he was
Bill Parcells? Vince Lombardi?
No.
Who was his coach?
The coach he was riding in when he got killed.
Oh.
It's in the museum.
All right. So listen, if we track down David Patterson, we'll put him on. Natalie is shaking her head. But hey, it happens. It's radio, and maybe he was busy. Maybe he got a better call. Better people. Better offer. Hey, coming back, tonight's live TV shows. You know, there's going to be two old sitcoms.
I know, and I love
them
both.
They're going to redo two old episodes live. And another night, we have another music winner. Mm. So, and she's pretty good, by the way. Mm-hmm. And if you want a chance to win $1,000, that's coming your way at 8:05.
Hey, I want to tell you about iHeartRadio. It now makes it even easier to listen to all your favorite podcasts. There's no need for another app. All the biggest names in podcasting can be found in the iHeartRadio app. There are literally thousands of them, including Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the Morning, and all of them are available for free. Now, your favorite radio app can be your favorite podcast app. Download or open the free iHeartRadio app and tap the podcast tab, and then you're going to start exploring. Are you a big Quentin Tarantino fan, Len? Pulp Fiction and Kill Bill and no.
Hmm. No, I'm not big on violence, but
yeah, I'm not really a big Quentin Tarantino fan either. I thought Pulp Fiction was overrated.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I don't like that whole scene where John Travolta and Samuel Jackson talk about a cheeseburger that's supposed to be one of the most famous dialogues and famous scenes in movie history now. Right. I just thought it was uninteresting. But I'm in a minority. I'm not a Quentin Tarantino fan.
Okay.
Anyway, he's got a new movie out. Highly anticipated, called Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It's set in 1969 in Hollywood. Leonardo DiCaprio plays a washed-up spaghetti Western star. Brad Pitt is his stunt double.
Right.
And it's set against the backdrop.
Don't leave out Margot Robbie.
Yeah, Margot Robbie. I think she's
in there somewhere.
Yeah. But it's
what's he play Sharon Tate?
Yes,
right?
It's set against the backdrop of Charles Manson
right.
and the killings of Sharon Tate.
Yeah.
That happens to be a period of Hollywood that I'm very interested in.
Yeah. Did you go visit that house? Or?
Oh, yeah. Well, this is a good story. I was jogging once. I was staying with a friend in Beverly Hills, and I was jogging, and I went up Benedict Canyon, and I came across a street called Cielo, and I thought, Cielo, somehow I know that street name from somewhere. Anyway, I jogged up, and then sort of I got halfway up the hill, and my right leg gave out. And I got I had a hobble back to the house.
Right.
And when I got there, I looked up Cielo, and where my right leg gave out was right at the telephone pole that Tex, what's his name, climbed to cut the wires to Sharon Tate's house before they went. Now, the house is long gone, but the driveway is still there.
Sounds like a Bermuda Triangle.
It's weird, isn't it?
Weird.
Yeah, but it was. I got a creepy feeling when I was there in Cielo.
So this movie, though, premiered at Cannes.
At Cannes.
And they went nuts, right?
Yes, big standing ovation, although the reviews are all over the place. People say it's interesting, but it's a little meandering. It has patches that are boring, but if you're interested in that time of Hollywood, 1969, it really captures the moment there. So anyway, keep your eye open for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
And the other one they loved at Cannes was Rocketman.
Elton John, that was huge. Yeah, people love that movie.
So were you a big fan of the sitcoms, All in the Family and the Jeffersons?
Loved them both. Loved them
both. Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made. Those were the days.
Trivia question for you. You know who wrote that song? No, you don't.
Sammy Kahn.
Charles Strauss and Lee Adams, the guys who wrote Bye Bye Birdie.
Really?
Yeah. They wrote that song.
No idea.
Boy, the way Glenn.
So anyway, that show's going to be on the air tonight live. So what happened? This is all Jimmy Kimmel's idea.
Uh-huh.
And he worked with Norman Lear.
Right.
And they're going to do two live sitcoms tonight on ABC.
What's the other one?
One is All in the Family, and the other one is...
Well, we're moving on up. To the east side.
Wheezy.
The Jeffersons. So they're going to do a live All in the Family, a live Jeffersons. Now, Woody Harrelson is going to play Archie Bunker.
I don't really see that cast.
I don't know who's playing Edith, but it's Woody Harrelson's playing
Who's
Archie.
Playing George Jefferson?
Jamie Foxx.
Trivia question for you. How did George Jefferson make his money?
In a junkyard. I have no idea.
No, that's Sanford and Son.
Cleaner.
That's Sanford.
Yes, he was dry. He had a chain of dry cleaning stores. No, you're thinking of Sanford and Son. There's Len confusing the Jeffersons and Sanford and Son.
I know a certain listener who's going to kill me over that one.
That's right. Laura from Harlem is not happy with you today.
All those sitcoms look alike, Laura. You, sorry. Anyway, this was all Jimmy Kimmel's idea.
Natalie's head is down. You're in trouble.
HR. Natalie just called HR. Jimmy Kimmel put this all together.
We are going to recreate All in the Family and the Jeffersons live. It means if there are mess ups, there are mess ups on May 22nd. Archie and Edith Bunker are played by Woody Harrelson and Marissa Tomei.
Oh, Marissa.
George and Louise Jefferson are played by Jamie Foxx and Wanda Sykes. Will Ferrell and Kerry Washington are playing Tom and Helen Willis. We've got an unbelievable cast. It really is. And it's going to be a great show.
Oh, Wanda Sykes is a hoot.
I love
her.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, we got to mention they got a new winner on The Voice last night. So the 16th season, that's Malin Jarman won. Now, who's she doing a duet with? Sarah who? Natalie's not listening.
This is Sarah McLachlan.
Sarah McLachlan.
Got that story from nuts in you, Len. Did you read it during the break?
Another Sarah.
All right. Coming up next, we got politics for you. How unpopular is de Blasio? And how powerful is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? That's right. Okay. Let's get the news. It is 8 o'clock.